The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus summoned the 12 and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. And he sent them to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. He said to them, "Take nothing for the journey, neither walking stick nor sack, nor food nor money, and let no one take a second tunic. Whatever house you enter, stay there and leave from there. As for those who do not welcome you, when you leave that town, shake the dust from your feet in testimony against them." Then they set out and went from village to village, proclaiming the good news and curing diseases everywhere. The Gospel of the Lord. We continue to ponder throughout this week in the first reading, the rebuilding of the temple in Jerusalem. We continue to make three applications to the rebuilding of the true temple, Jesus, to the rebuilding of the church with him called to be a temple of God, to the rebuilding of each of us called to be the tabernacle of God's dwelling place. What we see today is that that rebuilding process is fundamentally God's work. As much as we're called to contribute our own elbow grease and effort, it's fundamentally God's work. That's what Ezra describes in today's first reading. He turns and he says that basically all we were good for was destroying your work. Our wicked deeds have been heaped upon our heads. Our guilt reaches up to heaven. But now, mercy came to us from the Lord our God. First he left a remnant. Then he gave us a stake. He gave us stock, in a sense, in his holy place. He's brightened our eyes, given us relief from our slavery. And then, miracle of miracles, he's turned the goodwill of the pagan kings of Persia toward us. Thus he's given us new life. It's God's work. God was doing that all along. He wanted to wait for their repentance, but then he who allowed them to be scourged by the exile then was going to heal their wounds. It was all part of their growth in faith. It tortured him to see his people suffer, but he wanted to bring an even greater good out of it. Likewise in the gospel, when Jesus sent out the apostles to proclaim his kingdom, to build up his church, he wanted it clearly communicated that it was fundamentally his work. So what did he say? Take nothing for the journey. Don't take a walking stick, even if you've got bad knees. No sack, no food, no money, no second tunic. Why was he saying this? Because he fundamentally wanted them to be able to proclaim by their witness and not just by their words that God really exists, that he has a tremendous providential care. As they had already heard Jesus say in the sermons on the plain and on the mount, if he cares for the lilies of the field and the birds of the sky, he will care so much more for us. He knows what we need to eat, to drink, to wear, and to be sheltered. And so they were going on out with this confidence of what God himself was doing. They were to do two things as they announced. And this is really important for us to grasp. They were to proclaim the kingdom of God, meaning that the kingdom is at hand because the king had come into the world, Christ himself. And then to heal the sick, that preaching and healing went together. Pope Francis is trying to remind us of all of that in the famous interview published last Thursday with the Jesuit publications across the globe. He was asked, what's your big hope for the church? What is the most important thing for the church in the near future? And Pope Francis responded, I see very clearly, So it's something that's crystal clear in his mind, that what the church needs to be capable of doing, and when he says the church, he's not just talking about himself, he's talking about you and me as well, that the church first needs to be capable of healing the wounds of people, of warming their hearts, of drawing close, of having a proximity. He went immediately into a very powerful image, that the church is like a field hospital after battle, and we've got to focus on what the real deep wounds are. Not the wounds we think we see in others, but the wounds they know that they're carrying. Because unless we tend to those wounds, we're not going to be able to have a conversation about anything else, because those wounds are immediate. Once those wounds are tended, then you can start nursing the patient back to full health. That in order for us to proclaim the gospel, he said, we need to do it in the way that the Good Samaritan did it. Talked with regard to the way sometimes we fail in building up the church. He says, one of our failures is we fail to take responsibility for others. He says, both in terms of preaching and practice, there are rigorists and laxists. Rigorists just think, all my job is I'm going to announce what the commandments are. Take it or leave it, baby. You're either going to do it or you're going to go to hell. Rigorists. Or laxists. Do whatever you want. Nothing's a sin. No big deal. There are many in the secular media who try to pretend as if Pope Francis is a laxist. That he doesn't care if people are having abortions. That he doesn't care if people are separating love for life in marriage. Instead of making love, they use each other. As if he doesn't care that people are engaging in pseudo-marriages. When all of reality is meant to be spousal, that we're made in the image and likeness of a communion of persons who is God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. No, laxists don't take responsibility for the person at all. Because they just say, live and let live, do whatever you want. I'm not going to accompany you on this arduous journey to conform your life to Christ, just like I'm making that same arduous journey. What Pope Francis said, the church that he dreams of, is of a church full of good Samaritans who take responsibility for people, who bind their wounds, who help to nurse them back to health, who sacrifice for them. Because it's then when that happens that people get the ears to hear, because they already sense that the kingdom of God is at hand, because they're being loved by that king. I've told this story once before, but it always moves me, of a journalist in India who was on a train, and as the train stopped, he saw a blind man selling oranges to try to just make enough money. And one of the passengers getting off with the suitcases banged the orange cart, and all the oranges started rolling everywhere. And this blind man didn't know what to do. So this journalist was touched. The person who had knocked over the orange cart was long gone for the ride that was waiting. Nobody else seemed to be helping this blind man. So the journalist got off the train and quickly was trying to assemble all of those oranges to bring them back. The hoot started to come from the train saying, you know, 1 minute warning for the takeoff. And the person looked back, saw all the other oranges, and just kept going to bring all the oranges. And then the train took off with all his luggage. Wow. So the blind man at the end said, I don't know how to thank you. He said, well, I knew that nobody else would be able to do this for you and that you wouldn't be able to find it. And frankly, I didn't want you risking your life, not drawing closer to the tracks. So this blind man said to him, are you Jesus Christ? It was because this journalist got off the train, accompanied, helped to bind some of the wounds, some of the weaknesses that were present in that blind man, that he was open to the fact that the king still lives. That's what Jesus is saying we need to do when we go out, with a total confidence in God's power working through us, despite our own frailty, to bring his love, the love of that kingdom, out to those who are so wounded. The same Jesus who summoned the 12 and gave them power and authority summons us today. He's going to give us the greatest help we need, himself, right here. And at the very end of Mass, he's going to tell each of us, go in peace, go in my peace, to announce the gospel of the Lord. Let us ask him for his grace and his strength, so that we might do so as confidently, as entrustingly, and as charitably as the first 12 did, because we're here because they fulfilled that mission. Praise be Jesus Christ.